We can talk politics a little.
Yeah,
we want to talk about the interview.
We talk about D'Angelo.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Please don't eat me, I'm sweet and delicious. All these boys and girls running around my kitchen, having a good time.
Linda. Linda Palaccio. Yeah, oh boy.
I'm Linda Palaccio.
Thank you. Oh, there she is again.
I'm Linda Palaccio.
There she is the third time.
Yo, Linda, what up?
What's good, I'm Linda Palaccio. No.
Oh, my God.
Hold on a minute, guys. I'm lighting the third candle on our menorah.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
All
right.
I don't know, guys. Come on. We did Christmas last week. It was probably a mistake. Do we really want to go on another holiday?
No, you know what? Jamie,
go all in
Jamie
holiday
had a
style
really
again.
Good Hanukkah
it's the festival
party
of lights.
Night.
Yeah, I want to, as an adult, I'd like to bring Hanukkah somewhere to Christmas level of fun. I'd like at least one night of Hanukkah to be remotely fun as Christmas.
You were there last night, baby.
We had a good time. We really did Hanukkah right last night.
But is Christmas fun for adults?
I don't know. Well, for me, that depends.
Uh-huh.
As a kid, I was invited to Christmases and enjoyed them, even though I felt like an outsider. When I became more of an adult, I began to have lonely Christmases in movie theaters and Chinese food places with Jews. But it was a nice thing. And then I dated a girl who liked Christmas, and I loved Christmas. And now we broke up, and Christmas is totally depressing, 100%.
That sounds totally personal. I don't think that doesn't reflect us at all.
As a resident Gentile, I can say that I agree in the variation of Christmas. You know, it just really depends on how raging the family is. I'm going to just step back from the blame here and say that it's pretty much on everyone else, so just on a varying scale of
Well, that seems
intensity.
Sort of unfair.
You know,
yes,
in my,
it is quite it, unfair. Yeah, yeah.
If everyone does that, then it's on everybody else.
In my family, we used to have these huge Christmas dinners that my grandmother would cook, and then my grandfather passed away, my grandmother passed away, my great uncle passed away. The family got smaller and smaller.
All right, what are you getting?
Christmas started to become a bummer, and then I had nieces and nephews. And as soon as there were kids there again, then it was fun again.
Makes sense.
The secret to Christmas is children.
And the reason for that is because kids get presents. Adults have to give presents. There ain't no magic there, baby.
Well, even if adults get presents, though, they don't receive presents with the delight that children
do. No, well, they don't receive presents with no strings attached.
Well,
very good point.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Sad.
Maybe that's the whole idea of Santa Claus, is no strings attached.
There are none.
Yeah. I can imagine.
So you have to be good.
I can imagine a Christmas being like, here's your present. We're getting a divorce. Merry fucking Christmas.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's like a real adult Christmas. That might be like.
Wow, jeez.
Happy Christmas, motherfucker. Yeah.
Not quite.
Are we going to rap again today?
No, definitely not.
Also, Christmas when you're unemployed and have no money to buy anything is really sucks.
Hey, Jack, can we get a sad trombone on that?
That's when you like start making, you know, shitty recordings for everybody and like, you know, some sort of collage or something like that. Exactly. Yeah, or anything. I don't know, food or something abstract. I don't know. One year my family did that, my dad wrote poems for everybody that was like, you know, kind of rhymed with everyone's name and was like real clever.
I'm giving my brother and his wife a photo calendar.
Yeah, there you fucking go. That's that same shit. Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
In my family, everyone always gives each other.
It works.
Everyone always gives each other books in my family for some reason, and like no one is that excited about it, but everyone kind of likes it. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're like, well, I'll probably read this. Like this is applicable. Yeah. You know?
That's how I feel about
socks.
A lot of excitement. Same vibe with socks.
Well, socks is worse than books.
No, it's actually, but it's not though. Honestly, you know, because I'm like in the middle of winter, I'm like, ah, well, you know, shit. shit where the hell
you don't. They are more practical.
It's true. It's quite practical.
You don't. Yeah. You don't appreciate those gifts until your parents pass away, and then you have to buy your own underwear and socks, and then you realize all those Christmases you were actually really glad to get them.
Indeed.
Jim is pushing us really close to sincerity.
Yeah.
I'm starting to like.
It is bullshit.
It's gonna be
my icy exterior is melting
without you.
Didn't you get the irony memo, Jim? This is the 21st century. Anyway.
Well, should we hear some music?
White on white.
Why not? We can't get any modern.
Oh, we need to get modern. Know what? I don't think the song is playing, actually. I think we're still on the air. No music. This is just one of those
things. Oh, Jack.
It happened again where...
we're still so rocking. Sorry.
Really sorry.
We're just so.
I'm really, really sorry.
We're just so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
We blew it.
Hidden power in everything, like vectors falling from an angel's wing. God is dreaming of natural law, and we were not made just to crawl. This is the feeling of fitting. We're coast to coast and we're Holy Ghost. Birds
right on, white America.
That's the song of that race.
No. Well, we have a band with us right now that we'd like to talk to, but I can't. I don't want to say their name. It's got a curse word in it.
It's got a dirty word in it.
This is internet radio, Oliver. We can.
Yeah, but I'm not afraid.
It's called Shit Show.
What if you guys get fans to become like Poop Show?
Yeah.
For the kids.
S-T Show.
I told you, right? I told you. No, my dad like called me once, and he was like, you know, before you guys get into the studio, you know, we need to have a conversation about marketing. It's a classic Bob move, and he, I knew it. He was going to beg me to change the fucking name.
Hit Show.
Yeah, Hit Show.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too. Popular.
Hit Show.
So your dad's name is Bob.
Yes.
My dad's name is
Bob. Is that what you're telling us?
The rumors are true.
Yeah, my dad's name is totally Bob.
Yeah, that's all right. That's a dad name right there, you know? That's a good thing.
If you guys want to be popular in Brooklyn, you need to take the vowels out of your name, and you need to have all caps. You have to be S-H-T-S-H-W. But it's pronounced Shit Show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that, like, if you want to be, I'm telling you, you're in Brooklyn. If you want to make it with these fucks, like,
yeah, the I's are just ones.
They don't like vowels.
The O is a zero.
They don't like vowels in the band names, and they don't like lowercase letters in the band names.
Unless you put an umlaut over the O, then maybe.
The umlaut is a cool move. Okay. I'm not going to lie.
Sure.
So how is Bob doing?
He's pretty good. Waiting for me in California. Nick and I are actually heading out there in this spring to finish up our record, which has been going famously. And
with Oliver,
yeah, in an undisclosed location. And it's...
I don't know anything about it.
Yep, indeed.
So how did you come up with the name Shit Show? Tell us about the story of Shit Show. I mean, there's got to be a story here.
I mean, the band came together when we were seniors in college, graduating. We put it together with a couple other people from the new school for my senior recital. And it's hard for me to kind of trace the origin exactly of the name, but... it's kind of sprung pretty organically, you know. It really rolls off the tongue. It's something that I say. It's, you know, it's colloquial. And, it was kind of developed as such, kind of.
So you came together for a school project, is that what you said?
Well, senior recital. Yeah, I guess that's a school project. Yeah.
And how would you say your professors felt about, you know, the, let's say, profanity?
Mm-hmm. I actually got in big trouble. People pulled down my senior recital posters. It was a proud moment.
I like these guys already.
Yeah, it was a real proud moment for me, definitely. As a lifelong asshole and punk, it was definitely choice. Yeah.
We have some of those here. We have this guy Rex Savage. He sucks.
Yeah.
We'll have him on later.
I heard he likes metal though, so that you know that's
exhausting.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I actually heard from a certain unnamed record producer that the sessions were amazing and that the record is going to be really good, which is makes you very rare because bands that form at the new school almost always really suck. We've learned that at Mama Coco. So,
ouch.
It has been going really well. We're really excited. These are all new schoolers, including our drummer. And they all fucking brought it, and they really fulfilled.
Is the irony that you guys are all incredibly proficient musicians and meticulously rehearsed so that the show is in fact not a shit show? Is that
I think that there's some truth to that, although I cite, you know, a classic Malcolm McLaren saying, you know, organized chaos. And there's something I think that we've fed off in that spirit from the beginning. There's an improvisational quality that we've always tried to have. There's within the songs, between the songs, and there's just an energy that's like, fuck everything.
You have a powerful statement.
Yes. Yeah, for real.
I haven't heard enough.
Like, flip everything around because it's fucked.
Have you guys done any touring yet?
No, not a damn bit.
Are you looking forward to being in a tiny, cramped van with four stinky guys?
Oh, more than you know.
Because I've heard stories. It's apparently... being the chick in the band is...
I thought you heard stories about me bands and with a bunch of guys. Yeah, I was just like, I'm so...
No.
Yeah, no.
No.
Simply.
Edgy.
No.
You're in for some really interesting times.
Yes.
And stinky feet.
I know. I already know it, so, you know...
And lots of farts.
Yeah, no, I know it already fairly well. And yeah, despite all that, I've agreed to, submit to further time with these suckers.
Girls can fart.
They can.
But not when they were outnumbered 4-1, so.
Again.
Well, I don't think anybody could.
Yeah.
Why would you want to? What are you tapping into there, you know?
Yeah.
I guess, shit. Yeah, there you go.
Shit Show, to me, the name, kind of reminds me of Led Zeppelin. Because that band was named, like, oh, what's this band going to be like? It's going to go over like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, all right.
So would you guys consider yourself the next Led Zeppelin?
In terms of drummers, you fucking bet.
Yeah.
Mac Williamson is absolutely on par with fucking Led Zeppelin. Absolutely.
Is this gentleman here right now?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm absolutely serious. Like, this motherfucker is loud, dirty, ready to go. Yeah, my dad asked me.
This is a good language.
No, it's sick. No, my dad was talking to me about it, and
I
was like,
"Oh, talking about
yeah, this is Bob. Yeah, same Bob. Okay, yep, right. Yep." And yeah, we were chatting on the phone, you know. And yeah, he was like, "Yeah, saying shit," and I couldn't hear him. I've been having trouble hearing this whole time, and that's kind of been the vibe for all of us. And yeah, and I was like, "Yeah, Max, the loudest drummer I've ever heard," and he was like, louder than Keith Moon? And I was like, maybe. Maybe.
Well, you never heard Keith Moon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In person.
Oh. Yeah. Well, he had.
He made the best faces, I'll tell you.
Bob had.
Okay. Isn't that a great sentence?
Just clarifying, yeah.
Bob had.
You know, it's interesting. Bob. Is that really a full sentence, too? Bob had?
Yes.
Does that count? Is that a fragment?
No, had means an object.
I think that's full. I like that.
No, but you...
Had is the past tense of
let's go with
have,
it.
Which
let's
is...
Go with
I didn't get into New School. I was
Bob
waitlisted,
had.
Actually.
Were you really?
I was waitlisted.
For the New School for Jazz or Eugene Lang? Oh.
It was Eugene
wow,
Lang.
Oliver. Yeah, right. Eugene Lang? Oh, I also went there, yeah. That's all right.
So do you guys have funny song titles?
I don't know about funny, you
what
know?
Are some of your song titles? Just give us, like, you know, a few, like, list off a couple.
Talking and Leaving, What Kind of Loving, Pornography. That's funny, I think, right? Objectively, that's funny. One
like mildly.
Tone, yeah, moderately, you know. One Tone Chord, If I Didn't Love You, I don't
one
know.
One Tone Chord?
Yeah.
That's the name of the song?
Yeah.
Let me talk about that a little.
Go for it. Somebody else step in here. Tom.
One Tone Chord, yeah, it's all about the colors. Yeah, that one. Right, Cam?
Yeah, it's funny, like, they come from a musical perspective, and my relationship with the songs are interesting, kind of, yeah, wrote the lyrics, wrote the harmony, and, yeah, coming at it from that perspective and then hearing that kind of stuff is interesting, because that song to me is about death, so, yeah.
Ooh, can't wait to hear.
One song for resonating in me, you know, like the one, you know, like the tension and release. The release is death. It's the, you know, stasis. It's the, like, receptive, you know, going back into another song, another tension, another harmony, you know.
Thank you, Count Dracula.
Yeah, though, that's like Beethoven, you know, 1-5-1, baby, 1-5-1. Yeah. Death on bass.
So, Shit Show, as I think we all know and can agree, it's the end of another bumper year. And we'd like to ask the four of you at this time to join us in ranking the 10 biggest shit shows of 2014.
Whoa, like, what do you
consumption.
Mean? Oh, my God.
Is that number 10?
Yeah.
All right, number 10,
literal?
Nick's yes. Burrito consumption. No. Not a great start.
It was off the charts.
Hey-o.
I don't know, like, on a serious note, like violence, like gun violence, shit like that. Violence against women and people of color.
Is that 9, 8, and 7?
I would say
right
one, probably, okay. Frankly, but okay. That's getting ahead of myself. So, swing.
That's a shit
you
show.
You call me Dr. Death.
Yeah.
That is a real
showing
of
shit.
Yeah.
That's a real
anybody else?
Show.
How about that grand sucks. Jury's inability to indict cops for killing innocent, unarmed people?
Yeah.
Scrub dub dub.
That's a shit show.
Scrub two shits
city.
In a tub.
Are we trying to be funny, Oliver, or are we really actually like?
I'm sorry.
What? I'm not trying to be anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
A shit show can be funny, sad, or bad.
Yeah, we played. Yeah. We played a fucking insane
Halloween
show on Halloween.
Yeah,
that was an utter shit show. Yeah.
Of the
yeah, we had painted our faces to look like smiley faces.
I thought you were gonna say with shit. Oh man.
Happy Halloween.
Swing-a-ling.
The shit is in the music.
Yeah, the shit's more metaphorical. Yeah. Yeah,
this is the shit.
It's more of like a whiff of shit.
I dressed up like old Bob Dylan on Halloween, and my entire band forgot how to play Like a Rolling Stone. So that was kind of a
that's a shit show.
That's a shit show right there.
That sounds like a goddamn motherfucking
our
shit show.
Big finale of the set, and the entire big band forgot how it went.
It just goes up and down.
Yeah, well,
it does two things.
You wouldn't think it would be that hard to remember, but the whole band forgot it, so it was.
You were a dope like me can play that.
I think it's just perhaps the sheer number of times he does that that perhaps confuses people in the 20s.
How does it feel?
Yeah. I like that one. That's a good one.
That's
a good D'Angelo song.
It is a great D'Angelo tune.
That's a good one. Should we talk about records?
The video is really good, too.
Well, does Black Messiah, can we put a positive spin on Shit Show?
You bet.
In this context?
Fucking A.
It is a bit of a shit show, isn't it?
I mean, there
is shit all over the place on that record.
It's also just weird. Like, his vibe, everything is strange. The way it's released, it's like the way that people talk about it, like the sound of it. Yeah, it's interesting, but I like it. All his stuff.
It's like a backwards disaster. It's like a disaster.
It's an inverted disaster.
Well, that's like him. He turned it around, you know.
Yeah, or things that are just so one way or so extreme that they just flip out of themselves and become like a mirror self.
Yeah, I mentioned on Facebook I thought it was incredibly brave of him to release it after most critics had already written up their top 10 lists.
I would like to.
Yeah, I love it.
Speaking of lists, I would like to say at this time with great degree of confidence, Black Messiah record of the decade.
Whoa!
Check back in 6 years. Yeah. I bet it'll still be true.
Oh, I'm going to say, I said that last night, and that was rebutted, actually.
I don't know, 10 years?
I'm going to have to say Meat Shit coming in June of 2015 is going to trump
Meat Shit.
That.
Did you guys just release the name of your album?
Yep.
It's called Meat Shit.
Meat Shit.
Whoa. Are you spelling that M-E-A-T or M-E-E-T?
M-E-E-T. Meet the Beatles.
It's an invitation.
Meet the residents.
Invitation. You know, you're inviting the audience.
Into the shit. Yeah.
To like a much more personal, intimate kind of setting.
I thought maybe it was part of a two-album suite, the other one being Vegetable Shit.
See, that's what I was thinking of that.
And then Mineral. We're moving through things here. Moving through the nouns. Yeah, let's just
the instrumental record. Yeah.
We're getting deep in the scat.
Actually, it's just it's actually just recordings of us chopping vegetables, preparing salad.
So I think we listed sous chefing. I think we listed like 5 shit shows so far.
Oh, I got one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Me and Cam had rats this year. And I was up there.
Yeah. That sucks,
a Brooklyn
man.
Shit show.
Yeah,
you had rats. Can you tell us more about it? Come on the mic though. We can hear you at home.
They were just like in our zone, like just right.
Expand on that.
Particularly
they
yours.
They were in my room, I guess. Yeah.
Wow.
Sort of,
a stark admission. What are they? How did you get rid of them?
Did you get rid of them?
No one got the big mama. The mama got away.
Yeah, there was a big one.
Yeah, there's a really large one.
Is the mama still around, you think?
Maybe in the cellar, possibly.
It's still cold, though. I mean, it's pretty cold.
Yeah,
the thing about New York rats is that getting a cat is of no use unless you can get like a small leopard, basically. Because most of the rats you see in the subway would probably kill most domestic house cats, I would think.
Not Lenny. You haven't met Lenny.
You guys are from California, right?
No. I'm from California. I'm the only person from California.
Have you ever seen a rat in the whole state of California? I don't know.
Yeah, I have.
Desert rat?
I have, no, but they're smaller and it's just less common. I mean, the thing you see is
smaller and they're less stressed out.
It's more possums and raccoons and stuff like that, you know, because people have their garbage. And it's just more not as urban as this is, you know, not as like Blade Runner-y.
You don't,
despite the fact that that's where that was filmed.
If you see a raccoon in San Francisco, do you just give it $1 for no reason?
That's a fine way to refer to a homeless person.
Hmm.
A fine way indeed.
Whoa, exactly what I meant.
I was kidding. I'm sorry. That really cleared the room.
I guess I got caught in an awkward.
Yeah,
thing
see,
there.
Women can fart. Oh, didn't you know?
Now this is the
wow.
Show.
What an interesting circle kicker that was.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll open a large can of worms here. We talked about this before the show a little bit, but hugest shit show of the year. United States turning into a pussy, running away from all these hacker terrorists and refusing to show a movie because something might happen.
Jim, I don't know if I've ever heard you say the word pussy before.
Yeah, well,
this is makes it seem extra
how
hard.
This
yeah, this
man.
Is this is really
no, America's lame for doing that. What happened to the freedom of speech that this country is?
Well, you know, it's more than that though, because I'm going to pull the 9/11 card here, okay? Because you guys were probably all like high school, middle school, right?
It was my fifth day of sixth grade.
Sixth grade, okay.
Seventh grade.
So me, I'd be the
tenth
old
grade.
Guy here.
I'm older than y'all.
Me being the old guy well. Here. Right after 9/11, everybody in this country was freaking terrified of leaving their house. Mm-hmm. And people went to the movies. People went to ball games. People got on the subway and went to work. And we did it because we were fucking Americans, you know? And, like, that's what we did. And I really think that turning tail like this and running from whoever these anonymous hacker people are, whether they're North Koreans or not, I just thought it was, like, a really embarrassment. And I think Sony Pictures... It was the movie theaters that actually pulled the plug. And I
heard a rumor that Sony Pictures was actually delighted for the excuse to have its hands clean of this movie. apparently they didn't like it.
They didn't really want to release it in the first place.
I have a hard time because I just hate James Franco so much. My God. I just hate him. It's just
think about if a movie studio in Afghanistan made a feature film about killing Obama. We would be absolutely incensed and disgusted. So it was an incredibly...
No, we would have no right to be, though. I mean, who cares?
No, of course we would. That's just some crap, though.
No one has to respect some other country's leader. You don't even have to respect your own leader. And to what end, though?
You know, you just have to ask, to what fucking end? Would we respond to that or in any way engage in that?
It's kind of like when you're a freedom of speech advocate and you wind up defending Nazis and NAMBLA. You know, it's like... It's a shit movie. It was a bad idea for a movie. We haven't seen the movie.
No one's seen the movie.
It might be great.
It could be fucking brilliant.
It could be amazing.
The point is that film is meant to say something, make a statement. There's truth in the art of film. We cannot muffle that. That is fucking fascism, you know?
So they censored it?
Well, it's more than that. It's cowardice is what it is.
They canceled this movie.
But it's just so...
Because
like,
Kim Jong-un apparently is going to drop the bomb of the United States.
But let's look at this on a pragmatic level, though. The movie theaters, fucking Sony Pictures, fucking Seth Rogen, James Franco, whoever... Nobody wants that blood on their hands if something did happen. Yeah. In the end, that's why something like that gets pulled, because nobody wants to be in a position of liability if something actually happens. That's so psychotic, though.
What kind of person would... Like, you're insane if you give a fuck about Seth Rogen and James Franco in a movie, especially if you're a leader.
It's a ridiculous concession, and yeah, you have to, you know, just go with that, but... What we have to remember is that and this is coming from somebody who, just to clarify, I think this is an act of cowardice. I think it's ridiculous. I think it sets a really dangerous precedent for what we can do about cinema and art in 2014, and it's really fucked up because of that. But what we have to remember is that in North Korea, it is as simple as making an insult towards the leader is an offense punishable by death. That does not make anything okay, but... What I'm saying that makes it important is that you have to realize this is a nation of millions of people whose sole disposition in life has been that we are their absolute enemy. And now a film comes from the center of our propaganda machine, which Hollywood is, regardless of your feelings on it, and purports to be about the assassination of your leader. Regardless of my thoughts or your thoughts on that film, we have to acknowledge that there are, whatever it is, 6 to 8 million North Koreans who the thought of that movie does nothing but push them to violence and insanity.
It's a button-pushing move, but so was Team America World Police.
That was under Kim Jong-il, and that's something that's being very forgotten. And I'm not saying that makes it all right. I feel like that must be reiterated. I disagree with the decision. However, Kim Jong-un has shown that he is a crackpot. He's fucking crazy. He's just insecure. He is very
insecure. He's a total inferiority complex.
And we should not bend to his whim. However, this wasn't... I don't believe this was us bending to his whim. What I believe this was Kaz Hirai, the CEO of Sony, that is based out of Japan, that is within striking distance of any missiles that North Korea may or may not have, making a decision on behalf of his people, the same way we're arguing who would want blood on their hands. He's the one who actually, all vague 9/11 threats aside, stands to have blood on his hands.
It didn't even occur to me that North Korea targeting Sony is really an issue with Japan.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like a borderline North Korea-Japanese relations crisis that I feel like that's the thing that's being left out a lot. Yeah, it's terrible. It sets an awful precedent for free speech in America. But we're talking about they actually could launch things at Japan. Ooh. Not trying to fearmonger, trying to include that in the conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The fear has been mongered. I have a steadily mongering fear of growing inside.
I live in Indiana a lot of the time, guys. It washes up on you. But, like, there is, you know, there's lots of sides to this. Most of them are fucked up. But.
This bit is stretching long. Let's hear some music and come back to this. All right, what are we talking about? Is everyone sufficiently cooled down?
I have to say one thing. That's Seth Rogen. That's a handsome guy.
He's a beautiful man. You know?
You know, Jamie, he looks a bit like you.
He's a very handsome guy.
He really advanced the playing field for curly-headed nerds. So,
well, you know, when I saw that movie,
wow, what an aggressive statement.
I saw that movie Knocked Up, it was kind of cool. Because I felt like I was, like, my type was being represented really well.
No,
but then, like, my absolute nightmare, which is, like, impregnating a woman by accident, like, just occurred on screen.
I feel that way about, that bitch with the huge tits from Mad Men.
That Christina bitch Hendricks. With the huge tits.
Christina Hendricks. I really love her. And she won, like, hottest woman of the year 1 year. And it was so great. It was just like, all right, big-tittied red women. Hello. Like,
big-titted red women.
It was good.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good.
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Can't argue any of that.
No, it was a
win. I'm a fan.
We call that a win, I believe. A win?
A win.
A win.
I don't believe there's an H in that word.
It's the Royal W, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, I was hearing an H, and I just, you know, I felt like calling it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that sweater, dude. That's that sweater vibe coming in.
Thank you.
The audience members can't see the sweater.
You should describe it. Describe it.
I will. I'm that way ahead of you, dude.
Okay, all
right. Yeah, that's that sweater right there. I don't know. It's like rainbowed and shit. I don't know. It looks vaguely like Fantasia-y is what I'd say. It's Fantasia-esque.
Okay, I'm liking that.
I like that. Kandinsky. It's Kandinsky.
Getting a little more scholarly, perhaps.
What else?
You know, this might be a controversial thing to say, but I believe that Chad is wearing a Cosmere sweater.
Did you hear that? Striated?
Controversial. Going back to the shit show idea.
Yo, we were talking about high fidelity today. That's some real shit. Yeah.
No, you guys actually have good sweaters too.
Yeah, thank you.
You can't see, but these guys have some good sweaters.
Yeah, we also have nice sweaters.
You got it going on.
I'm wearing my favorite.
There's a sweater and hat.
You know, the best compliment I ever got in a sweater was a guy told me, "Hey, I wish that I had been using that sweater as a jizz rag for the past 10 years.
Are you serious?
A man said that to me, actually. A great musician, real role model for the community. I'm not going to release his name. I'm not releasing his name. That's not a joke. I wouldn't release his name because he has a great sense of humor, but he is a school teacher and has asked that I don't release his name when telling jokes. This is not
What's
a
cool?
joke. I'm dead serious.
What's cool?
It's in Westchester. That's as far as I'm going to go.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I'm glad that fell on deaf ears.
Yeah. So that's that sweater vibe coming in right there, folks. Oh. I think that says it all. Am I right? Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really get the tie-in between the sweater vibe and what we were talking about, but I liked it anyway.
No, I don't know.
I liked it anyway.
It's kind of it's unspeakable.
Get the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's unspeakable. You know, it's
cool. Cool.
Kim Jong-un, yeah. Does he wear sweaters?
Kim Jong-un.
That's the
time. No,
that's
not funny.
Does anybody remember that when King John Il was still alive and David Letterman would make fun of him like four nights out of five and say, Kim Jong Il and his brother, Mental Lee Il.
Oh my God.
Wah, wah, wah.
Man, this is.
And they didn't watch any missiles then.
Yeah, word. Do they or do they not get crazier and crazier through the generations?
Yeah, you could probably. I don't think Kim Jong-il thought he was a god, did he?
They're all actually Kim Jong-un is sort of has the least fleshed out. Like Kim Jong-il's father, Kim Jong-sung, was the originator of the entire sort of religious, mystical mythology that's been built around that family. Kim Jong-il was his successor, carried it on pretty well. Kim Jong-un is now the third generation who kind of like doesn't really know what's going on.
He likes to hang out with Dennis Rodman.
The situation is collapsing. It's very interesting.
It's like a copy of a VHS tape copied again. It just starts getting
fuzzy. It doesn't even know what it's about anymore.
Yeah,
that's cool. Like a stamp. Yeah. Like, every time you stamp it, it just gets more and more diluted.
Right. Does anybody know anything about the details of the Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un?
I watched the Vice program.
Is he dead yet?
I know that at one time, and possibly still, Dennis Rodman was the American citizen with the most inside knowledge of North Korea's political inner workings.
Him and Bill Clinton.
So, do you guys know that scene in Bad Boys 2 when they're driving a Hummer through Cuba? Know that this could now happen? The United States is friends with Cuba. They were passing back and forth notes, and we're feeling good about it. So,
Bad Boys 2. Democrats are really bringing in the big guns. Trying to get it done. Make it look good. Quick, clean it up. They're about to vote.
I tell you, you guys have seen Bad Boys 2. Well, that was a quite lukewarm response, but I'm going to take that for yes.
I don't really remember that scene.
It's been a minute, but it's in there somewhere.
It's like the whole end of the movie. You don't remember
it's
the
been
Hummer?
A minute, dude. It's kind of crossing with the Blues Brothers in my head a little bit, where they drive the car through the mall.
That would be a crossover for the ages.
That's not a bad idea at all.
Hold on, wait. Great thought on the show right here, copywriting this at this moment.
Blues Boys.
Starring Martin Lawrence and John Belushi.
Wouldn't Bad Brothers be a little cooler?
There'd have to be a cameo from the Bad Brains.
Blues Brothers are already bad to the bone.
I think we might have to get Jim, though. Belushi.
I mean,
John Goodman.
This is like the magical, like, and Chris Farley's there too movie, all right? Oh. This is not.
Chris Farley's alive?
Oh, God!
You said magical, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, too soon on the Farley.
I want him back. I want him back.
That's, we gotta hear some music.
Not 9/11, but Chris Farley. Yeah, we're drawing the line, buddy. We're drawing the line.
My eyes are like a palm, semi-permeable skin. In a lovely diary. I'm trying to find New York in her eyes. In her eyes, washing down my skin and my sins in a foam container, lifted up in pop smoke, cupped inside. Don't leave me alone. I'm sore, but short a day. That'll always measure you in rats. In the back of my mind.
I'll do it. Hi, this is Paige from Shit Show. We're here on Mama Coco's radio. We're tuning up for one of our favorite tunes coming up on our new record, which should be out on the air in June 2015. Meet Shit. Keep your ears peeled. I've whipped out my FM voice for those of you who are listening. You should be feeling very grateful.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
This one's called Just Like Me. Dog on the rope that I keep tied up, howling, hoping for another chance to prove he should run free. You are the stem in the bouquet that I've been watching decay for days. You've got that stench of death upon you, but I keep you around anyway, because you're just like me. How could you not be? When you're just a manifestation of my work to unhook myself from your representation of reality. You are a shoe that hits the floor, and you are beaten, you are worn. You played a part, fulfilled a role. It's written all over your soul. And sit in my palm, beg to be slung. You have always brought the worst out in me. You
You are the eye of the needle that I wrestle with and feebly cry out. I was just trying to thread a single string. When you're just a manifestation of my self-loathing, you're just like me.
All right, sayonara, everybody. We love you, babies. We'll see you in 2015,
thank
motherfuckers.
Shit Show loves you.
Let's get on
bye,
out of here, motherfuckers. Year. All right, good night, good night, good night, good night, good night, motherfuckers.
Fuck North Korea.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.